We appreciate him so much. He is a blessing to this church and to this fellowship. He has had his hands in revival all over the country. And just coincidentally happens to have been involved in tremendous outpourings of the Holy Ghost all over the country. Just happens to be there when it's happening. And we understand that he is a vessel of God, filled up with good things and come to leave a blessing in this house. And we just want him to preach to us. Whatever it is God's laid on his heart today, it's going to be just right. And God's going to break the bread and feed every house. But as he comes, would you extend your hand toward him and pray for his home, his family, the ministry of God in his life. We love you, Brother Godwin. Take your liberty this morning.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Let's give the Lord some praise. Aren't you glad you're living on this side of Calvary? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you got your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Amen. We give honor to Brother and Sister Sutton, your pastor and his wife. How many of you love the Suttons? Aren't they great people? Amen. Amen. I was just, amen, watching his daughter up here expectant with the child and singing. And I got to thinking, you know, amen, there's most ladies, amen, they, well, not most, some ladies, they get pregnant, they quit worshiping, quit praising, and there she is ready to be delivered, and she's worshiping God. And I thought, you know what's kind of like her mom and dad. And then I got to think about all the kids. And Lord have mercy, I got to looking at you all, and y'all are, amen, starting to act like Brother and Sister Sutton. Amen. That's the will of God. And I appreciate the positive spirit that is here and attitude. And that makes a big difference. I mean, there's no sense getting saved and then still being sad. Amen. Amen. If we're going to be saved, we ought to act saved. Amen. Amen. So high five two or three people around you. Amen. And tell them, aren't you glad we're happy? Aren't you glad we're happy? Amen. Is that bottled water or tap water? Okay. That's fine. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, we had a great general conference. And I don't know if your pastor talked to you about it, but it was, amen, a crossing the river conference. Brother Pugh preached a message. I'd recommend everybody go on the website, get Brother Pugh's message Saturday morning, get Brother Dylan's Friday night, and get the message from Saturday night with Brother Willoughby. On Friday night, Brother Dylan from up in Madison, Mississippi went crazy. Preached on passion. The place literally just went up in smoke, and made a call for people to preach, go to unchurched cities. And then Saturday, Brother Pugh directed the mantle service. We've never had one in the United Pentecost Church where the elders passed mantles down to the younger generation. And one of the key phrases, he preached about the second crossing and that we can't miss it. We got to go across the river. And he closed his message by saying, I hear the river gurgling under your feet. And that night in the foreign mission service, they took up $1.5 million in commitments to get missionaries back across the water and back to their countries. But by the time Brother Willoughby got done preaching, that was just in the offering. Then by the time Brother Willoughby got done preaching, the offering went up over $4 million. It's almost $6 million that night. And it was a miraculous move of the Holy Ghost as people just began to storm the platform, given in $10,000 chunks. And Brother Willoughby met a man on the plane and told him what he was going to be preaching, and that the Lord had told him to give $10,000 in that service. And the man reached in his pocket, pulled out his checkbook and wrote out a check and said, I'm not with y'all, but he said, I want to be a part of that offering, and gave $10,000. Amen to it. And so I said all that to say there's something that has happened in the spirit. Amen. So high five somebody and say, we've crossed over. Amen. We ain't got long. Amen. The Lord's coming. Rapture's on the way. We got to reach a lost world before he gets here. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 5. And This piano player is doing a good job. She's probably getting cramps in her fingers with all my rambling, but amen, give the piano player a good hand. I was wondering who's going to play the piano after the last one we got hitched and run off on us. Hallelujah. Have you got a boyfriend yet? Not yet? Going once, going twice. I don't know who her daddy is, but I'm liable to get... Oh, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. I was up at a youth conference in Fort Wayne. My brother brought his youth group up there, and his daughter's turning out to be quite pretty. And he told me something in the room. A bunch of those boys, about 500 kids, they were snooping around, and I and his daughter. And so I got up that night to preach. I said, "Now I'm going to give all y'all a warning about my niece." My brother said, "He's got a gun and a shovel." He got real quiet. I said, "The gun to kill you with and a shovel to dig your grave." So I could tell in daddy's eyes that's what he wanted said. Hallelujah. Yeah, move in at your own risk. Hallelujah. I seen he kind of bow up back there. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Amen. Thank you, baby. You've done a good job. You don't have to keep playing. Amen. I'm done rambled the Holy Ghost right out of here. Hallelujah. Chapter 9 and verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet anything that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And while I'm reading it, just came to my mind, we give honor to some Brother Sutton's family here. I think his sister and kinfolk from over Louisiana. Amen. Let's give them a big old hand. Amen. 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 And there was, verse 2, of the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." The king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodebar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir. Everybody say, "He fetched me out." The son of Amiel from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, and that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Jump down to verse number 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet. Amen. I want you to look at somebody. I want to preach for a few minutes. I may not even leave the pulpit. I may not scream and holler, but I do feel this in the Holy Ghost. I want to preach to somebody. I want you to look at somebody and tell them my title. And the title is, "It Wasn't My Fault They Dropped Me." Amen. Tell somebody else, "It wasn't my fault they dropped me." Come on, tell two or three other people. Find a visitor. Tell them, "It wasn't my fault they dropped me." Amen. Come on, turn to somebody else and tell them, "It wasn't my fault they dropped me." Amen. Now, would you begin to lift your hands and let's worship the Lord in advance for what he's about to do in this house. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus. God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your power to reach in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan. Jonathan is the son of King Saul. King Saul is the first king of Israel. Israel had become impatient with being a theocracy, and they began to cry unto the Lord that they could have a king like all of the other nations. The Lord told Samuel the prophet, this is what's going to happen if they move into this area of government. And in short, the king is going to take everything you have, line his pockets with your money, tax you, burden you. It's not going to be a good situation. They still cry for the government of the world. And so God gives them a king. He anoints him. It started out good. As long as King Saul was tender towards the prophet Samuel, amen, things were fine. But after a while, amen, and the blessings of God, he began to believe, because he is head and shoulders above everybody else, that he did it. You know, it's a sad and a dangerous thing, amen, to interpret the blessings of God as something that we did. I don't know about you, but I want to always have a posture of, no matter how blessed I get, amen, to God be the glory. Amen. If you go from a five-figure income to a six-figure income, you ought to be just as quick, in fact, quicker, to jump to your feet and say, to God be the glory. If you go from a low six-figure to a high six-figure, you ought to be quick to say, it was the Lord that was on my side. Amen. Today I got my first ride in a Hummer. Amen, but I'm glad to see the owner of the Hummer up on his feet giving God praise. Come on, somebody. Amen. I wish it was that every time God blessed us, we could take the blessing, we could handle it. But it seems like the more blessed we get, the more proud and self-sufficient we become. But I'm preaching to a church that God is blessing and God is pouring out his spirit. Let us always be quick to give God the glory. The more money you make, the more you ought to dance. The more, amen, the bigger house you buy next time, the more you ought to worship. The more income you make, the more you ought to give. You just want to let God know, I can handle this blessing. Amen. You always want to let God know, I know how this works. Amen. You're blessing me so I can bless the kingdom. It's part of Abraham's blessing. Abram, I'm blessing you so you can be a blessing. So it's like the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan flows in, the Mount Hermon water flows in one side and flows out the other side of the Jordan River. I don't want to be a dead sea where I only receive and I don't put out. No matter how much God blesses me, I want it to be in one hand and out the other, because the more I let it out, the more is going to come in. Come on, somebody. Saul, he doesn't do that. He becomes self-sufficient until his ears become numb to the man of God, and by that, the voice of God, because God always speaks through a man. It becomes a dangerous thing now that Saul has become numb to the preaching of the word through the prophet. And it gets so bad that he gets jealous of David. And in fact, his mistake was when he went in to offer up sacrifice, when the prophet said, don't go to battle against the Philistines till I get back. It'll be 7 days. And Saul becomes impatient. Where's the man of God? Why didn't he hear when he said he was going to be here? And he gets the clock watching. And you know, he should have been here. It's the seventh day. And he can't take it no more. So he has somebody build him an altar. And now he moves out of his kingly position. And he moves into, he illegally steps into the place of the man of God and begins to offer up a sacrifice. And as that sacrifice is burning on the eighth day, Samuel tops the hill and sees the smoke, and he walks up to the king and said, what in the world have you done? Why didn't you wait till I got here? And Saul's exact words was, I forced myself. You wasn't here when I wanted you. You didn't do it when you said you was going to do it. You didn't. What Saul had forgot, he had become so fleshly and so carnal, was it didn't matter if they offered the sacrifice on the seventh or eighth or tenth day. Amen. But it had to be done by the prophet. And if the prophet did it, that meant God was going to make bare his holy arm. And what difference does it make if we defeat them on the seventh day or the 20th day? Let's just do it right. Can I preach to somebody in here? I don't care how it happens, but let's just do it right. Come on, you ought to high five somebody and say, let's just do it right. Let's get our business in order. Let's get our house together. Let's do it right. And so Samuel's words are, because you have done this, the kingdom is required of you. And on that day, he is still on the throne, still has a crown, but the anointing lifts off of him. Samuel weeps and cries for a few days until the Lord taps him and says, Samuel, what are you crying about? He said, well, we don't have a king no more. He said, oh, we got one. He said, I already got one picked out. He said, who is it? He said, he's down in Jesse's house. Samuel jumps on his beast of burden and heads to Jesse's. Gets there, knocks on the door, and tells Jesse what God said, and he calls all of his boys out but one. You know the story. They all come out. I kind of see him in my mind flexing. Posing, throwing spears, shooting arrows, doing all kind of gymnastics, showing how handsome they are, got their best cologne on. Samuel standing there, no witness of the Holy Ghost. He looked at Jesse, he said, Dad, he ain't here. He said, oh yeah, he said, you need to check him. There's got to be one of them here. They run them back through. In my mind, I see him go through two or three times. And there's not even a cold chill. There's not a goosebump witness. He said, Jesse, he said, I know God said he's here. Do you not have any more sons? He said, well, I got a little fella over on the other side of the hill. He's over there tending the flock. He said, go get him. Let's see if that's him. He said, can't be. Little old redhead, curly-headed, freckle-faced, little ruddy complexion. He said, can't be him. He said, go get him because nothing's moving here. I don't feel nothing down here. I can't get my praise on here. I don't feel nothing. I don't know how close he got to Brother Sutton to the house. I don't know if he got cleaned up too good or if he got the smell of the sheep off of him, but there was a witness of the Holy Ghost. That's the man. Little redhead. Can I tell somebody? Here's what I want to preach to somebody. Amen. That God's not always looking for the superstar in rent-a-car. God's not looking for always for the one that's got it going on. Can I tell you that when God reaches for somebody, he doesn't come for them that are whole. He doesn't come for them that are furnished and complete and got everything together. He said, I come for them that have need of a physician. I'm not come looking for the up and out. Amen. I've come looking for the out and out. Understand it now. You don't have to get good to get God. The brothers probably looked at him and said, what in the world is he looking at that little dude for? He tells David, he said, David, bow the knee. God has called you to be king. David in his sheep's clothes, the smell of the field on him, drops to his knee. Samuel takes a horn of oil off of his shoulder, uncorks it. He doesn't do like we do and give a little dab, will do you, you know. We get the little oil and dab you. And I've seen people come up to get prayed for and the preacher get a little bit too much oil on the finger, a little oil dribbled down their face. I have seen men and women wipe it off kind of like, and you see a mutter in the pew like, my God, is he trying to bathe me in it? And my thought was he wasn't sick. If you were sick, you wouldn't care if they did what Samuel did. Samuel, he didn't dab it on him. He corked the thing open and poured the oil over him. You can be seated. I think I hit somebody right there. Hallelujah. Reminds me of one of my friends that used to, he grew up over in Moreau, Arkansas, which is just west of Memphis in the country. I mean, deep in the country. And his pastor was so country, most of the time he preached in overalls. And there was a lady just for years, every service, it didn't matter if it was Wednesday night, Tuesday night prayer meeting, Sunday morning Sunday school class, if they had prayer for the sick, she came up. And I mean, it was for years. He'd take the little bottle of oil and dab it and put it on her and pray. He'd shake her, kick her. No, I'm kidding. Eventually, he's just like, my God, God, come on. You need to heal this woman. After many years of this, finally, he figured out what it was. And she came up one Sunday night. And instead of taking the dab oil, he said, sister, he said, do you believe the Lord's going to heal you today? She said, Lord, I'm believing. I believe he can. I've been coming every time you have prayer. He said, I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands. I believe God's going to heal you tonight. She closed her eyes, got shaking a little bit. Her eyes were closed. He uncorked brand new bottle, big old bottle of olive oil. He popped the top on it and went, poof, just poured it right over her head. She never came back for prayer. God healed her. Hallelujah. I don't know if she really was sick or if she just had a little bit of pride, but she poured that oil over. She didn't have to come back no more. This is the way Samuel poured. He doesn't put a little dab on David, but he pours that oil on him. He empties it up. It's a type. See, David is a type of Christ. He is the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him bodily. The fullness of the oil is poured over David, and Christ is full of the power of God. I've come to preach to somebody. Amen. God's got a blessing for somebody this morning. God wants to reach you where you are today. The beauty of David is he's anointed to be king, and he is king, but he doesn't have the throne. He doesn't have the crown. And that's a whole nothing another message for another day, where you can get anointed with a first place anointing and stay in a second position. David stays there. Saul's got the throne. He's got the crown. He's got the scepter. But David's the anointed man. And David begins to kill the bears, and he kills the lions. And you know the great story of him killing the giant Goliath with a stone, and then picks up his own weapon, Goliath's own weapon, and cuts his head off, grabs it by the hair of the head, hanging that head up, and shows it to the Philistine army. And there's a great victory. I mean, the victories. But then there are the mistakes. There's the adultery. There's the murder. He had many wives, and he goes into one man's wife, and she comes up pregnant, Bathsheba. He calls her husband in because he wants to create a cover up. Get her husband to come home for a few days from the battle, and they'll have a relationship. When the news gets out she's pregnant, they'll think, he came home, they had a relationship, everything's normal. But this man was an honorable man. He was a leader. He said, I can't come into town. I'm not going to my wife with my men out there fighting, and they're away from their wives. I'm going to sleep outside. I'm not even going in. And it made David so mad. Now he's got to do something more. He called, said, okay, you want to fight? And he sends a letter to the commanders that are over him and says, put him in the heat of the battle. And there he is, in the heat of the battle, and he's destroyed. So now David is a murderer and an adulterer. And then in Psalms 51, we read his prayer of repentance. God, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Have mercy on me. He prays a prayer that's out of season. They are under the law. There can be no movement of sin. There cannot be any remission of sin. Amen. The law said an adulterer's got to die. A murderer's got to die. It's demanded. It don't matter that you're king, you're going to die. But David so prays the prayer with such a broken and a contrite spirit. He so pleads for mercy at the feet of the man of God, Samuel, that the word of God comes back. Thy sins are removed. Moved from thee, Nathan. Nathan says, David, the Lord said your sins are moved ahead. What was it? There it is. A revelation of how God's going to move. Amen. David, I'm not supposed to forgive sin. There hasn't been a Calvary. There hasn't been a Pentecost. But I'm so moved with your repentance. I'm going to reach up to Calvary and pull it back to you and do something out of time and out of season. Can I preach to somebody today? You may have come in here just to check it out and see what's going on. And maybe in your mind you didn't really think God was going to do anything. But God sees your spirit. God sees your heart. And he says, I'm going to do something before you were even ready. Touch somebody next to you and say, God's ready to do something for you. God's ready to change your life. God's ready to deliver you from the habit. God's ready to deliver you from suicide. I don't care if you're three generations deep in cocaine. God said, I'm ready if you're ready. The story is huge. It'd take too long to tell the whole story. You can be seated. Saul's kingdom is required of him. In the middle of battle at Gilboa, they come under attack. Jonathan's son, Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth, is just a little fella, 5 years old, when they come under attack at Mount Gilboa. The kingdom is in the heat of the battle. Mephibosheth's nurse runs and picks up Mephibosheth to rescue him, to hide him away. He will be the heir to the throne. He has a destiny. He has a future. It is bright. He will live and has lived and will live in ecstasy. He will live in splendor. He will live with silk sheets and feather pillows. He'll live with duck to eat every night. And come on, somebody. feel like going to eat lunch. Hallelujah. Yeah. I mean, he'll eat high on the hog. He'll eat every night where he has to eat with his pinky out. Napkins tucked in. He won't have to pour his own drink. Somebody will wait on him and serve him. But as this nurse, the one that was supposed to take care of him, the one that was supposed to nurture him, the one that was supposed to protect him, she snatches him up. And as she's running to hide him, I don't know if she trips or stumbles, but she drops him. And when she drops him, he lands on both feet. And when he does, those tender little feet, they snap at the ankles. To most, it's just a physical injury, but if he's going to be king, this is a horrible fact. Now, because of broken limbs, he cannot be king. It rules him out of ever being a part of royalty. It wasn't his fault. He was dropped. Somebody should have took care of him, but they dropped him. Now his future and his destiny, his fine meals, his life of splendor and bliss and blessing is over. He is twisted and bruised. He is an incapacitated victim, broken on ankles. Now he is thrust into exile. When years pass and David now has come to the throne and brought the glory back in it, one more battle with the Philistines and then it will be over. The Lord has told him, said, I need you to build me a house. You've shouted and danced. You've brought my glory back. And so that's why we shout and dance here in this church, is because we understand any time you bring the glory of God into the house, you got to bring it in with great joy and gladness. So we don't come to church and act like we're at a funeral, because we understand we're bringing the glory into Birmingham. And so, amen, we do it with joy. We do it with dancing. We do it with rolling. We do it with running, because we know God's coming into the city. Jonathan has such a kinship with David, and David with Jonathan. They loved each other as their own soul. David, now becoming an older man, he calls in one of his servants, Ziba, and he says, is there not somebody left in Saul's house that I can bless? David had the right spirit towards a man of God, even when Saul tried to kill him. And even when David had the chance, when his servant took him into a tent, said, there he is. And look, there's a sword. Look here, you can cut it. You can cut him. You could kill him right here. David wouldn't do it. He said, why would I lift my hand against God's anointed? I know he messed up. I know he's after me. I know he's been throwing javelins at me. I know he's been trying to kill me. Can I tell somebody, hey man, that somebody maybe have done you wrong in the past, and you may be getting up every morning singing somebody done me wrong songs. But amen, you got to understand, you can't take vengeance into your own hand. You can't try to retaliate on your own. You got to honor. Come on, somebody. I need to preach to somebody right here. Hey man, you can't always throw javelins at people. You can't always be saying, well, they did that and they did that. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Even when Saul does die in battle, he's wounded. One of the servants of David sees him, and Saul says, come on, I'm going to die anyway, but I'm hurting. End this thing now. And this servant thinks he's doing a good thing, and he gets Saul and leans him up on a sword and runs him through with it. And he comes back to tell David, he was wounded, and I wanted to get him out of his pain and his misery, and he even asked me to do it, David. And so I leaned the sword up, and he fell over on it, and it's all over, and Saul's dead. David now turns and kills the man that killed Saul because of what Saul was, but because of what Saul used to be, the anointing he used to have, because of the honor of the position he used to have. It's a horrible way for Saul's legacy to end, and a horrible way for Saul's life and future to come to pass. He won't have an heir to the throne. God reaches outside and brings David inside. But there in Lodabar literally means a place of no communication. One writer said it means a place where no word is found. One writer said it means pastureless, which means that it was a desert or a barren land. There wasn't much food. Now a would-be king lives in a desert. A would-be heir to the throne lives in a place he doesn't hear any word. He's so far out he can't hear the word from the king. He's so far gone. He's so hurt. He's so maimed. He's so lamed. He's so twisted, his feet. Now, he didn't get the benefit of a good doctor to straighten his feet out so they would grow. Now, he walks on crooked feet. Everybody knows he would have been a king, but somebody dropped him. And somebody's walked in here today, and somebody dropped you. Maybe a dad had dropped you, or a mother dropped you. Maybe you were abused or misused. In the last few weeks, we've heard horrific, horrific stories of people. Man, can you imagine a man going into an Amish school? I used to sell insurance to the Amish. Of course, they were some liberal Amish. They're not supposed to buy insurance, but I slipped in and I used to tease them. I could sell ice to an Eskimo. Hallelujah. And sand to an Arab. And I sold insurance to an Amish man. Hallelujah. Amen. Made lots of money off of him. Hallelujah. Found me a liberal Amish. But they're nice people. Can you imagine what was going on in that man's mind that made him plot for weeks? Now, none of the family members can recall what he's saying happened, but hear what he says. He says that he molested somebody and that he was taken advantage of, and so he took out what was happening to him on somebody else, and his daughter died at a young age, and he didn't understand why, and so instead of trusting God, he begins to blame God, and he gets angry, and he gets bitter, and so here's a man that goes for years, he's limping along, his life is twisting out of shape until finally it comes to a volcanic explosion with an outburst of machine gun and gunfire. People he doesn't even know are killed, dropped. Who am I preaching to today? We got a good shouting service going, but I feel it so heavy in my spirit that the Lord wants to reach for somebody that was dropped. Maybe a father took advantage of you. I read that article in the paper today. He said, come on, God, when you're going to have to get real with your preaching now. We're going to reach people. There's no such thing as good sinners anymore. People that got injuries deep, they're twisted, their spirits are twisted. Am I preaching all right now? They got deep wounds and deep injuries. Somebody walked out on you. Somebody left you high and dry. A husband turned and left you. Dropped. Can't get a word. Caught up in a rat race, living in a desert, living in a waste place, a place of desolation. Until finally, there comes a knock at the door. Ziba serves as a type of the Spirit of God. David is a type of Christ as he sends his Spirit out to reach for those that are lost and undone, out of the way. I hear Jesus say, go to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Go to the hedges. Go looking for them. Go find them. Send them out. Track them down. Ziba knocks at the door, and Mephibosheth stumbles to the door to open it. There stands a man dressed in royal robes. Probably in his mind he thinks, they found me. I'm the last one in Saul's house. They're going to kill me. Saul doesn't have a good legacy in town. They found me out. I thought I was hid over here. See, too many people try to hide out. I wish I had a preaching church now. Too many people want to just hide. But I feel the Holy Ghost knocking at somebody's door today. Hello in there. 34 years old and you think life is over. 34 years old. Tragic story of this. Her name slips me, just in one of these movie stars, has a baby, and her son from another marriage comes in to see her 2 or 3 days, and he's there, and he sees the mother and kisses the baby and his new little sister from another daddy, and he goes to sleep in the chair, and when they wake up the next morning, he's dead. Toxicology reports have just come back. He was taking 2 different forms of antidepressant medicine. He's 18 or 19. You're too young to be depressed. See, the trick of the devil is, even at a young age, is to let you see, no, it's not fair. You don't know who your daddy is. No, it's not fair. It's not fair. But you're only 18. You got a whole life. You got a whole life to live. You listen, can I preach to somebody real plain right here and say, I'm not minimizing the pain of your past, but can I tell you, you got a whole life to live. Don't let your past incarcerate you. Don't let the pain of somebody dropping you penalize you from what could be. If the Lord would tear, you can live to be a ripe old age. You can be prosperous. You can be victorious. Is there anybody else in here that's ever been dropped? Everybody's got a horror story. There's people all over this building that were probably abused and misused, verbally, mentally, physically. Out of 1.2 million babies that are born in a year, they say 375,000 of them in this country are born addicted to some kind of drug. Not because they took it, but because their mother, with them in their womb, was so into their own self and so selfish that they would take methamphetamine or crack. And so now a baby's born into a world, an addict, never lit up a crack pipe, never popped a rock. But addicted, dropped. What can I do for you, sir? Are you Mephibosheth? I am. I'm David's servant. King David. Probably beads of sweat break out on Mephibosheth's brow. Yes, sir. He said, the king would like to speak to you in your house. Probably his blood pressure went up, his heart begins to pound. He thinks that's it. So he stumbles around the house, gathers his family. Said, we got to go to town. The king wants us. They all know what's coming. When he comes in the house, he sees the king there in all of his splendor and glory. The Bible says he goes down on his knees and he does reverence. Can I tell you that David serves as the most perfect type of Christ? And Mephibosheth serves as the most perfect type of all of us. Because see, we were all dropped. Our father Adam. Adam in a garden. All he had to do, Brother Sutton, was leave one tree alone. But he dropped us. When he disobeyed God and ended up eating that fruit, now the whole human race has been dropped into sin. It's so. Someone said it's not fair. Romans 5 said we have all sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. That's just a college word, because it just simply means because Adam did it, you're guilty. Because you're of the human family, we all come from the family of Adam. No matter whether you're white, black, brown, or yellow, amen, we all go back to one father, Adam. Everybody should have said amen right there. We've all been dropped. Hey, man, you say, well, I've never taken a drug. I've never been beat. I've never been abused. No, but you were dropped in sin. We are all born in sin, and we've been shaped in iniquity. And there's coming a day when the Lord's going to knock at your door, and he's going to send the holy presence of God after you and say, come on, the king's got need of you. I've come to tell you, God's not calling you for judgment. God's saying, I see where you're at. I see you in desolation. I see you in a waste place, but I want to bless you. Oh, come on. Is there anybody in here that believes it's a blessing living for the Lord? I don't know about you. I'm glad that God found me in a desert. I'm glad God found me in a waste place, but he brought me into a king's palace. God's in the blessing business. He said, Ziba, is there anybody? Is there anybody left I can bless? Yeah, there's Mephibosheth. And the Bible words are, Pastor Sutton, and he fetched Mephibosheth. Literally means he pulled him. In Mephibosheth's mind, he thinks it's over. He's a dead man. It reminds me of those angels that go down to get Lot. Come on, Lot, it's time to leave town. But Lot just can't let it go. Lot, come on, God's about to judge Sodom. You got to come on. Until finally it gets so bad that the Bible says the angels literally lay hold of him and they pull him out. I don't know, but God, I feel like God is reaching in this house and he wants to pull somebody out. You were thinking about suicide this week. You were thinking about ending it all this week. But you hear this preacher, I've come in here as an angel of the Lord, a man of God, to say, come on out. You don't have to die. You got a future. You say, but what about your past? What about your past? The blood of Jesus is against your past. The blood of Jesus will take care of your past. Mephibosheth, a type of us all, he falls at the feet of David. See, hey man, you don't have to repent over being dropped. You don't have to repent over somebody abusing you. That wasn't your fault. That was somebody's selfishness. That was somebody's ignorance that did that. You're not repenting because somebody raped you or lied on you or gave you your first marijuana joint. You're not repenting because someone gave you your first drink of alcohol. You're repenting because we were all dropped long before you took a drink, long before you smoked a joint, long before a amen, you shot up a needle. Amen, long before that we were dropped in sin. But I got good news for you. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Look at somebody and say, look at the cross. I see David reached down under Mephibosheth's chin, said, look up, Mephibosheth. Get up, man, get up, man. If you will repent, God is faithful and just to forgive you. It don't matter how bad it's been, what you did. I wish I had a preaching church right here. I don't care if you were the drug dealer. Come on, somebody. I don't care if you was the lady's pimp. Come on, somebody. Amen. If you repent, God's faithful, and because he's just, he's got to forgive you. Oh, I wish I had somebody that knew, amen, you prayed to a just God. It don't matter what you did. If you repent, he's faithful and just to forgive. He says, get up, Mephibosheth. There behind the king, probably over maybe to the right, was a big, beautiful table covered with skirts, food everywhere. He says, Mephibosheth, I tell you what. You see Ziba over here, see all of his family? Yes, sir. They're going to be your servants. You know, me and your daddy, Jonathan, we were like that. We were homies. We were like one, Bo. We were tight. We were down for each other. We'd get in a battle, we'd be back to back fighting. And I'm going to bless you because of your dad. And I see Mephibosheth probably raising his hand. He's like, sir, yes, Mephibosheth. But my wound. See, God wants to bless us so bad, but too many of us are so focused on our wounds and our deformities and our mistakes and our habits that it don't matter how much God moves on us and how much God wants to bless us, we keep going, God, remember 7 years ago? You remember this week I took 5 extra pills. I wanted to see how far I could go without blinking. God, remember what he did? Remember what she said? David said, I see that. But you see, I'm the king. I can bless whoever I want to bless. But what about the rules? I know about the rules. But because I'm king, I'm also a lawgiver. And because I'm a lawgiver, I can suspend the law. I can write a new law and enact the law that I just read. I know the law said you can't come in here. But because I'm king, I said, come on in. He said, I see your feet. I see your ankles. And I've done an investigation. I see what happened. What did you find out, sir? I found out it wasn't your fault. You were dropped. You can be seated 30 seconds. Holy Ghost is working in here right now. We're at a decision point right now. Somebody, see, God knows the very number of hairs on our head. When you washed your hair this morning, if you did it, I washed mine. And when I got out, and there in the tub was 8, 10, 15 hair right from my head. One of them was probably 40,321. God said, check, off. Another one was 32,337. He said, check, off. Now, some of y'all, it's about number 1 through 50. He said, that was 47. I ain't talking to nobody, but you got to wash your hair gently. Pook you back in. He doesn't just know the total number. He knows every hair on your head. So you don't have to ask God, do you know about my past? He knows about your past. But now you need to think about it. He knows about your past, and you feel what you're feeling in here. You felt like running. You felt like clapping. You felt joy come up in your spirit. That's in spite of your past. Touch somebody and say, in spite of my past. In spite of my past, he's reaching for me. In spite of my past, he's calling on me. In spite of my past, he's wooing me. In spite of your past. Turn around to three people and say, so what about my past? Look at somebody and say, everybody got one. Come on, look at somebody and say, don't get cocky now. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got a past. Hey, come on, am I telling the truth, elder? Hey, man, you may be 75, but everybody's got a past. But I got good news for you. Everybody's got a future in Jesus. Everybody's got a future in Jesus. I don't care if you drink a 12-pack a day. Everybody's got a future in Jesus. Woo! Look at somebody and say, I do have a future. Come here, Mephibosheth. Let me show you something. Be Mephibosheth. Come on. Come here, Mephibosheth. I'm going to show you about your limp. What are people going to say about my crooked limbs? I'll show you. Come on back here in the banquet hall. Look at all that food, Mephibosheth. Look at all that. Look at that. Look at that fruit, man. That's duck under glass right there, Mephib. All these servants of yours. Every one of your kids gets a servant. Your wife gets a servant. Your cousins and aunts and uncles get servants. Ziba's whole house is going to wait on you. Hey, what's this food for? Come here, I'll show you. And the king, somebody say the king, walks a crippled man to the table.
This is your chair, Mephibosheth.
Come on, he puts him at the king's table. Can I tell somebody, I don't care where you've been. God said, I got a seat for you at my table. I'm not going to put you on the 10th floor at the corner room, honey. I'm going to put you in my table. Stay right there. Look at somebody said, there's a seat for you at the king's table. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, mother. There's a seat for you at the king's table, mother. God sees the pain. God sees the past. Somebody should have loved her better. Somebody should have cared for her more intimately. But they dropped her. But at the king's table, mother. At the king's table. Come on. Come here, mother. At the king's table. Comes with her limps. Comes with her problems. Comes with a past. The Spirit says, come to the king's table. Daddy didn't do what he should have done. He didn't give you a good example. Didn't talk to you like he should have. But he brings you to the king's table. Come on, baby. I know you got a pass, but look here. Sit right there. Sit down at the king's table. That's it. Slip up to the... Just go ahead. Scoot on in up there and eat. Scoot on close to the table. Come on. I'm preaching to somebody in here right now. You say, what difference does it make? Because look here. Come here. Maybe this was one of David's boys. Go get that stool and sit up there. He didn't have a problem. David was a good daddy. David took care of him like he should have. He didn't have a limp. Set up at the table. Amen. But you know what? When you set up at the table with a skirt on it, everybody from the waist up looks just alike. You can't see twisted limbs. You can't see. Why? Because Christ covers it all. Christ covers it all. The reason you're welcome at this table is because Jesus has covered all our past. And when we're sitting at his table, we all look the same. Stand with me. We'll stay here. A piano player can come. Grab somebody's hand next to you. Fetched them out. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us, to buy us out of the slave market. Sin is our injury. We've been smitten, we've been stung, we've been bit. Sin is colorblind, but so is the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, and Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, not in the desert, not in the place of no communication. He dwells in Jerusalem. And he did eat continually at the king's table. And then it's like Samuel kind of added just for a shot at the devil's head. And he was lame on both feet. I got news for you. You may come in here lame with the past. But when you come to the king's table, you can eat continually. And you might be lame. Someone wants to talk about your past. Oh, you can talk to them about it. We're not coming in here and say be fake. What I like about this church is it's full of people that are real. We're not trying to be hypocrites and act like we ain't never done nothing. Come on, look at somebody and say, I ain't gonna act like I ain't never done nothing. But you know what? What we've decided to do is not live in our past. And we've decided to live for our future. There's a good husband for you. There's a good wife for you. There's a good job for you. There's a life of happiness. There's nights where you're not going to have to take sleeping medicine. Come on, somebody. Now, whoever's hand you're lifting up in the air right now, this young lady's wanting to pray right now. Is there anybody else in here like to say, hey, I'm in a house where I can be honest. I want to come to the altar. I want to pray. I come in here limping, but I'm going to go sit. That's it. Come on, mother. That's it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, sir. What about you? Come on. What about you, ma'am? Come on. Come. Just come on with your hands raised. God, everything hasn't been good in my life, but it's about to change now. I'm about to pull up to the king's table. That's it, mother. I need some Zebas in this house. I need some altar workers in here that'll come serve the king's table. Come on, somebody. Hey, amen. I need some women that know how to pray. I need some men that know how to pray right now. You were dropped, but it wasn't your fault. From day to day, it will never lose. Jesus, to the highest mountain. Oh, yes, it does. I need some ladies that know how to pray. I need some women that know how to pray right here.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. It's the blood that gives me strength from day. Come on, men, would you find somebody to pray with? It'll never lose its power. Come on, you can eat at the king's table. Way back on Calvary. Come on, husband, you don't have to be limping. You don't have to limp out of here. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus, come to the king's table. Come to the king's table. Come to the king's table. Heal in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Let the Holy Ghost flow. Drink deep at the king's table. Come on, mother, drink deep. Drink deep. Oh, it's tongue talking time. It's the blood that gives me strength. Come on, bring us out of the desert, God. Bring us out of the place of no communication. Way back on Calvary. Come on, somebody, look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Oh, on Sunday morning. Oh, from day. Come on, lift your hands up and praise him. I love you, Jesus. 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 That's all you gotta say. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.